You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So this week on City Counselling, ahead of the council's decision on weed management harmonisation, Oscar Perez talks to Richard Hills about what the decision is about the glyphosate chemical spraying method versus thermal weed management method debate. He started off by asking what the decision ahead of the council is.
This is just weed management within the road corridor on hard surfaces. So basically in the gutters and any weeds and grasses that grow through the cracks and footpaths. And the main purpose of it is, the final decision's up to Auckland Transport, is to prevent the damage to the roads and footpaths, which obviously cost a lot to renew over time once the plants grow through, crack the footpaths, and then water gets in, etc. So, yeah, just to be clear, there's no change to the parks that, thankfully, over a few years ago changed, where we had very minimal glyphosate use, and we moved to mostly mechanical edging in our parks, reserves, around playgrounds, all that sort of thing. So this is just the street corridor. And that change coming, or is proposed to come, because we have a very different way of managing those weeds on our streetscape right across Auckland.
As you mentioned there, there are various different plans, and it does vary based on the locality as to how weeds are managed. Often we see in perhaps higher socioeconomic areas of Tamaki Makaurau, more progressive modes of weed management being used where it can be afforded for by the ratepayers and the local boards. And we see more chemical-based solutions like the spraying of glyphosates in lower socioeconomic areas. How do you create an equitable, both in health outcome and in maintenance outcomes, solution across Auckland?
Yeah, so, and that's the big issue. This is just that the way we're managing weeds in our streetscape, or Auckland Transport has been, is based on the legacy boundary. So obviously 10 years ago, we had all the legacy councils who all had a different way of doing streetscape weed control, I guess. And on the North Shore, where I live, for 20-something years, we've always had thermal as the majority of the work. There's still glyphosate on really hard, difficult weeds that can't be done with the thermal, but it's very much spot spraying, and largely it's thermal. But according to the data that we're being given by staff, that is three times the cost of what is happening, say, in South Auckland, which is predominantly glyphosate. And so the plan, I'm trying to give a regional view because my personal view, if I'm honest, is that I prefer thermal from a chemical-free or low chemical use position. But at the moment, and especially due to the emergency budget where we lost $500 million, my colleagues and also the finance team don't have, this has to be a budget-neutral decision, but also reduces glyphosate across the whole of the community. And to do that, it'll be a combination of, the proposal is to be a combination of plant-based weed removal and some glyphosate use across the whole city. My preference would be to somehow figure out a way to get thermal right across, but everyone is saying that it is, you know, more than three times the cost, and which would mean we'd have to find between, I think it looks, it could be, I don't exactly know the total figure for Auckland, but it's millions of dollars extra per year if we wanted to do thermal. And also, to fit with the climate plan, which I guess is not backfiring on me, but I guess I'm leading the Te Tāriki o Tāwhiri, our climate plan, and in the current methodology used for thermal, it's very high emissions because of the diesel used to heat the water, and of course high water use. So my long-term preference, my personal preference, would be to figure out a way to use non-potable water, which some contractors already do, and also move towards that low emissions, either EV-based heating or trucks, if that was possible, and some technology says that is possible. But at the moment, I have to, you know, admit that the thermal is extremely high emissions.
I've recently spoken to two contractors about thermal, and they both recommended that the heating of the water can actually be done using biofuels, and that the water that they use can be non-potable, and that there are solutions for collecting more non-potable water. Does that reduce the emissions enough in council's eyes compared to, say, the emissions or negative footprint that the glyphosates have outside of our borders in their production cycles?
Yeah, so that's what I've also asked too. So they still, our team who do emissions modelling and the sustainability team say that the thermal would still far outstrip emissions based on glyphosate, even if you look at making those chemicals, et cetera, et cetera. And so the embodied carbon in the vehicles you're using for thermal, if you're wanting to get down to that level. But yeah, the other issue is that it's probably a long term, because I can't, and elected members can't negotiate with contractors. I have seen some of the figures, and some of the contractors have come to the weed political advisory group and have given quite different things that they could do. The problem is that we have these large, almost unbreakable contracts currently, and my preference would be to somehow figure out how we can carve out this one part of their contract, and it might take a while to negotiate that, so that we could try other options. We could put in the contract around low emissions, etc. So the current contractors, according to what we got from officers, is that they don't have that technology, and it will take a long time, and it will cost a lot for them to get there, because we can't, as elected members, switch out the contractors ourselves. We can't do those negotiations, and rightly so. But that is the difficulty for me when we are trying to say that local boards have choice over what they do when, you know, if you're looking at three times the cost, it's not really a choice. So I guess my colleagues around the table, the feeling I've got is that they are sort of happier, because obviously there's a reduction in glyphosate in their area and the cost stays the same, but can't just think for the North Shore because I live there. So that's the challenge I'm trying to face
right
at the moment, is that most of the table are going, well, why would we be basically subsidising the North Shore, which we have since amalgamation? But I guess this is why this decision keeps getting kicked down the road. I want to work out a way that we can find fairness based on cost, and maybe a medium to long-term process of getting. My preference would be, and it may not be everyone's preference, because actually some local boards prefer glyphosate because they feel it's more effective and there's less, you don't need to do it as many times as thermal, and it gets all the weeds and stops them regrowing. Like Waitakere and a few other areas are saying that they prefer glyphosate because they want to protect their local reserves from encroaching weeds. It's not universal, the want for thermal. So in some respects, it may just be my experience of having a very low chemical methodology on the North Shore, and the passion from many people for that. Even though about, I think it's about 40-something% of people use glyphosate on their own home garden and edging and things like that anyway. So it's kind of trying to balance all that.
What the workshop document looks like to me, from what I understand, is that the plan will be to harmonise using glyphosates. And you mentioned there that was areas like Waitakere using it to protect their natural environments or native environments. Glyphosates, if I'm not mistaken, are a banned carcinogenic in Europe, used very sparingly, part of an integrated weed management toolkit. Now, because of that effect and the negative health outcomes for pregnant women as well as children, as well as the negative ecological outcomes as it is an antibiotic, so it breaks down the plant's ability to process nutrients and produce nutrients for itself. Why are glyphosates still included with these hidden costs, in terms of why would we protect native bush with something that actually destroys its ability to produce nutrients for itself? And why would we spray something that we know and science knows that is dangerous to human health outcomes? Is that hidden cost not enough to outweigh a budget cost at the moment?
One thing, we just don't have the money. Like, even if we wanted it, we don't have it. We are still cutting quite a number of staff members and things like that. But the other issue is that my belief is that there is some concerns about the health to others, but on paper, it's just my opinion. because the EPA and the type of glyphosate, so they say that the Environment Protection Authority is the one who decides, not council, what can be used and what does prove harmful to humans. So they would say it isn't harmful. They presented to us. Obviously, we always can argue with that. And they said that's non-carcinogenic and it's non-affected. It doesn't affect humans. And obviously, the environmental groups that come present to us disagree with that, and some councillors disagree with that as well. So that's the difficult thing, is that the evidence that we are given in a New Zealand context, they say this is fine to use on the curb and channel in the heavily concentrated way and done safely. But obviously, I don't necessarily agree with all that, but I'm not the type of person to, you know, much like 5G and 1080 and all those sorts of things, I'm not usually a person to disagree with the officers who come with us, but I have always felt that there are issues with glyphosate use, and just in general, my general approach would be, you know, preferring something that has no chemicals, whatever the chemical is, if there's an option. And because I've lived on the North Shore my whole life, I know there is an option, but in the current model, it's far more expensive than any other methodology.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.